Congregation, let us begin this evening's service with the singing of Psalter 431, the stanzas 3 and 5. Ye hear, my children, hear, saith the Lord who bore thee. Never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. I am God alone, worship and adore me. Psalter 431, the stanzas 3 and 5. Scripture reading for this evening will be from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11, the stanzas 14 to 28. But first, the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned Luke 11, starting at verse 14 to 28. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far the scripture reading.
Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace, from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Almighty and eternal Lord, most holy and merciful Lord, when in the evening of this thy day of rest, of this special Sabbath day, in the life of these young people, together with the others who made confession in this morning hour, but when they may be gathered with us in this evening to publicly confess that thy word is truth, that they wish to stay with the truth and to live in according to the truth, whenever one of them may even receive that sacrament of adult baptism, Lord, unto whom shall we then go to acknowledge thee for the manifold blessings in the life of these young people, when thou hast guided them and directed them till this moment, that they have a desire to place themselves under the truth of thy word, and that they want to live in according to it. Lord, then we command them and all their loved ones unto thee for this special service and for the unknown future, Lord, that they may have or receive a praying life, For who is sufficient to these things? But may their sufficiency be of the Lord, that they may be convinced, and by thy Spirit also convicted of what we just sang here, my people, hear. But also that there be a desire that they may keep, not only in their mind, but especially in their heart, what they have heard and learned and confessed. And Lord, wilt thou then remember them with all their loved ones near and far, listening along in this evening or at a later moment. Lord, may we be humbled under thy mighty hand. May we be humbled under thy goodness. For who are we, and what is our house, that thou givest unto young people to do public confession of faith? Glad day in the life of the congregation when young people may join themselves as professing members. Lord, grant a continual prayer in the midst of the flock for our children, for our youth, adults and elderly, that we may command one another before the throne of grace time and again, that thou wouldest keep and uphold and give all that is needed, that new ones be born in Zion. Wilt thou remember those who have done confession maybe many years ago, and thou knowest how the thing lies in their heart? Wilt thou remember those who never came to do confession, who may be turned away, maybe in our midst, who have seen children drift away? But Lord, thou art the same. Wilt thou bring prodigal sons and prodigal daughters back? And Lord, thou doest still wondrous works with thy hand. For as these young people are a testimony of that. Lord, wilt thou remember the sick, the needy, the afflicted, the widows, the widowers, the ones that lost child or children, mourning families, uphold and strengthen. Be with troubled ones in the body, others in the mind, in their spirit. O Lord, make a haste to deliver and give all that is needed. When in this evening hour thy word may be proclaimed audibly and visibly, give then a blessing from above. Help in listening, thy servant in proclaiming, that it be a good hour in thy house or in the homes, that thy presence be experienced. It be testified, the Lord was near. The Lord was dear to us. Keep us from sin and evil, and wilt thou graciously forgive all that was amiss. And look upon us and all our loved ones in thy mercy and free grace from above. We beseech thee in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of adult baptism, as one of our confession students will receive that sacrament in this evening and that way may do confession. Form for the administration of adult baptism, as you can find that on page 126 in the back of your psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he does make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. And thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore we are by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. However, children of Christian parents, although they understand not this mystery, must be baptized by virtue of the covenant. Yet it is not lawful to baptize those who are come to years of discretion, except they first be sensible of their sins and make confession both of their repentance and faith in Christ. For this cause did not only John the Baptist preach, according to the command of God, the baptism of repentance, and baptized for the remission of sins those who confess their sins, Mark 1 and Luke 3. But our Lord Jesus Christ also commanded his disciples to teach all nations and then to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Mark 28, Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Adding this promise, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. According to which rule, the apostles, as appeareth from Acts 2, 10 and 16, baptized none who were of years of discretion, but such as made confession of their faith and repentance. Therefore, it is not lawful now to baptize any other adult person than such as have been taught the mysteries of holy baptism by the preaching of the gospel and are able to give an account of their faith by the confession of the mouth. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name in prayer. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the Red Sea upon dry ground, by which baptism is signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon this person, and incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that she may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing his cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that she may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and that the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I ask you to stand up? Since therefore you, Ying van Zegelaar, are also desirous of holy baptism, to the end that it may be to thee a seal of thine ingrafting into the church of God, that it may appear that thou dost not only receive the Christian religion in which thou hast been privately instructed by us, and of which also thou hast made confession before us, but that thou through the grace of God intendest and purposest to lead a life according to the same, thou art sincerely to give answer before God and his church. First, dost thou believe in the only true God, distinct in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, who has made heaven and earth and all that in them is of nothing, and still maintains and governs them in so much that nothing comes to pass either in heaven or on earth without his divine will? Secondly, dost thou believe that thou art conceived and born in sin, and therefore art a child of wrath by nature, wholly incapable of doing any good and prone to all evil, and that thou hast frequently in thought, word, and deed transgressed the commandments of the Lord, and whether thou art heartily sorry for these sins? Thirdly, dost thou believe that Christ, who is the true and eternal God and very man, who took his human nature on him out of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, is given thee of God to be thy Savior, and that thou dost receive by this faith remission of sin in his blood, and that thou art made by the power of the Holy Ghost a member of Jesus Christ and his church? Fourthly, dost thou assent to all the articles of the Christian religion, as they are taught here in this Christian church, according to the word of God, and purpose steadfastly to continue in the same doctrine to the end of thy life? And also, dost thou reject all heresies and schisms repugnant to this doctrine, and promise to persevere in the communion of the Christian church, not only in the hearing of the word, but also in the use of the Lord's Supper? And fifthly, dost thou take a firm resolution always to lead a Christian life, to forsake the world and its evil lusts, as it is becoming the members of Christ and his church, and to submit thyself to all Christian admonitions. What is your answer, Ying van Zeggelaar? The good and great God mercifully grant his grace and blessing to this thy purpose through Jesus Christ. Amen. A very special moment, only a few words. Special moment in your life, Ying. And you may be here together with your husband and with loved ones and a congregation. And we may see something coming true of what we read in Psalm 87. That the Philistine and the Tyrian and the ones from far and from near being brought from outside the church into the church, having received a conviction of the truth. Be convinced this is the truth, this is the way, walk ye in it. Now the Lord, when you may look back in such a wonderful way which you could never think out, has brought you together with your husband under God's word, and now had a desire to become a member of the church. May now the Lord graciously bless you, together with your husband and the family and the congregation, and make you a blessing also in your family towards your precious children you have received. And who the Lord willing another week may receive that same sign and seal of holy baptism. And who is now able to do these things only when we are engrafted inwardly, spiritually in the church. And it may be said, this one and that one is born in Zion. May now the Lord grant you that grace, together with all the loved ones, for time and for eternity. So be it. Sit down. Shall we now sing together from Psalter 255, the third stanza? To the Lord such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet. And with the third line, and before our Maker kneeling, this confession student hopes to kneel down before God's countenance. After this stanza, she will be baptized. And after the amen of baptism, we sing while she remains on the kneel bench without further announcement. And we do that and standing, the third of 436. So now the third of 255. And after baptism, the third of 436 standing. Ying van Zeggelaar, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close this baptism with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy Son Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern this baptized person by thy Holy Spirit, that she may lead a Christian and godly life, and increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that she may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy which thou hast shown to her and to us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and that she may manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that she may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one, only, true God. Amen. We will sing together from Psalter 428. And thereafter stanzas 1 and 8. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him, whose goodness none can measure. They are the stanzas 1 and 8 of Psalter 428. Our special beloved congregation, when there comes a time in the life of our dear young friends that they have a desire to do public confession, what is that actually? Maybe children might think, well, when you do confession, you don't need to go to catechism class anymore, then you are done with it. Well, even then you are still welcome. Others say, well, then you are a member of the church. All true. But if that is the only thing why young people would do confession, that would be quite poor, wouldn't it? What is now actually doing confession when children come to years of discretion, become adults, and say yes in front of the church to the questions of Vutius that are asked? Some say, well, then they take their baptism for their own account. Also true. Then they say, now I want to be responsible for my own life. But when you grow up and come to the years of discretion, you are responsible for your life anyways. But when you do confession, then you may also publicly state that before God's countenance in front of the congregation. Well, when you do confession, then you profess, then you confess that you wholeheartedly agree with the truth of the Bible as God's word. Then you promise that you will live according to that word of God, not only on Sunday, but all the days of the week. And then you promise to stay with the truth as well in your life. What a wonder. And young people, grown up in the church, sometimes maybe even after a turbulent time in their life, come to this moment. How awful is it then if we would say yes with the mouth? Keep our heart far from it and break the oath in our daily life. And that would one day testify against us forever. What do we then need? What is now necessary in our life? Well, if I would ask our children, they would right away say it. We need a new heart, rightly so. We need the Lord to work in our heart, rightly so. What do we need? The work of God's Spirit to work mightily in our life. And what happens when that Spirit works? When He sheds His love in the heart, what happens then? Well, then there happen two things. Then there comes a desire and a love to hear and to keep God's word. That is what we will consider in this evening for a moment with the help of the Lord and awaiting His blessing. God's word, our text, can be found in our scripture reading. Luke chapter 11, verse 28. And there we read God's word as follows. But He, that is the Lord Jesus, said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. We write under this text, hearing and keeping God's word. Hearing and keeping God's word. Two thoughts. Not difficult to remember, children. In the first place, to hear God's word. What is that? Does that mean it goes into one ear and out the other ear? You've heard it and you forget about it? No. To hear means to hear with an ear of faith. And secondly, to keep God's word. And what does that mean? Does that mean that when you receive that, that you put it on the shelf or you will never look after it? You keep it, you don't throw it away, but you still keep it? No, to keep it means to keep it in your heart. So to hear God's word and to keep God's word. Our text, beloved confession students, family, congregation, has been taken from Luke 11, the chapter in which the Lord Jesus speaks to a great multitude. He speaks about the one thing needful. He speaks about himself. He speaks, as the psalmist sings, about grace and truth that shall mark the way where the Lord is own will lead. And that is what those students need. That is what we all need, be it well, for the time and for eternity. It is in this chapter that the disciples ask their master, teach us to pray. And he taught them that precious Our Father which art in heaven. And he instructed them, knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and ye shall find. He instructed them in the one thing needful. And then they brought unto him a man who was possessed with the devil. Poor man, who was deaf and dumb, who could not speak, who was totally under the power of the devil. And they brought this poor man in their need and to the Lord, believing that if he would, he wanted, he could clean him, he could deliver him from the devil. And the Lord did. He was moved in his heart with the poor and needy ones. And he delivered this man from the devil so that he could speak rightly. This man did not even need to learn to speak. But this man spoke rightly, right away. And what is then the fruit? Who that multitude who stood in awe, who were amazed? Would they fall before him? Would they kneel before him? As we saw one of our confession students in this evening hour do, kneeling before God's countenance, acknowledging him and asking for his help and blessing. Lord, teach me thy way and thy path to go. Oh, they were impressed. Because he spoke as one with authority and not like the scribes and the Pharisees. Would they ask him for mercy? Or even before some could do it, then the Pharisees and the scribes were so scared that that multitude would leave them and follow Jesus that they accused him right away and said, this man, he is casting out the devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, and I hardly dare to say it, they accused Jesus that he cast out the devils because he was one of them. But then Jesus rebukes them. And he says unto them, if now a kingdom is divided against itself, it will not stand, it will fall, it comes to naught. And if a house is divided against itself, it will collapse. And if now the devil is divided against himself, then his kingdom will also come to naught. And he warns them strongly for that unforgivable sins of which he said, all sins man do can be forgiven, but this one sin that the Bible calls the sin against the Holy Spirit can never be forgiven. And people might wonder, and some in the church even do wonder, have I not done this unforgivable sin? Well, what is that sin that is making the work of Christ for a devil's work? That is the total hardening of the heart without any impressions left For we may freely say that those that struggle with this question or are attacked by the devil, that they have committed this unforgivable sin, that we may say, and those have not done this sin. Because if one commits this sin, he is so totally hardened, that person does not even care about the spiritual things anymore and will never come back. Jesus warns them for this sin, as he speaks with authority. And yet the multitude, would they bow? Would they acknowledge him? Would they say, thou art the Son of David, thou art the Christ, the Messiah? Oh, we read only of one woman who could not hold her peace, who cries out, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. A woman. She hears the accusation and she cannot hold her peace anymore. She must speak with an overwhelming heart, with an overflowing mouth. A certain woman. Who is she? We don't know. We don't know where she is from and who she is. We do not know her name and her background. Maybe she is even a mother herself, since she feels the blessedness of the Lord Jesus and of Mary. But one thing we know, although we do not know her, she was known in heaven. And is that not the most important thing in your life, confession, students? It's not so important that if all the people would know us and if all the people would honor us. It's not so important. If you would ask a certain person, this one or that one, who is this? And they say, well, I don't know. The most important thing is that the Lord knows. That he knows us out of the sanctuary. Now she is it that lifts up her voice. That means she doesn't just whisper. She doesn't speak softly. She speaks loud and clear so that everyone can hear it of that multitude. And she says it with a loud voice, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. She was a woman that listened attentively and felt the happiness of one who might know him and the blessedness of that family where Jesus grew up as a child. She must speak. She must utter it. She becomes so full, so convinced, so convicted that she speaks out. And Jesus, what does he say? Does he refuse her honor of Mary? Does he refuse what she says? Does he maybe say, you should not say that? No. On the contrary, he doesn't cut her off in her speaking. No, he agrees with her. He says, yea. As if he says, that's true. Blessed is that woman who bare me, and with whom I was as a little child. It's true. Because that's what the angel Gabriel had told her as well. When she came in Nazareth in her house. Blessed art thou among the women. Highly privileged. Also known in heaven. So Christ does not deny the blessedness of his mother according to the flesh. But he does not put a period behind the word yea. He doesn't say yea, that's true, period. He says something behind it, yea, but rather are blessed, as the text, that hear his word and may keep God's word. He doesn't deny the blessedness of Mary, but he denies what some people through the ages have made of Mary. And in the old country, I was reading that newspaper from among us in this week, and there had been published recently a book from one of our Reformed churches, a professor, and he wrote a book about Mary, and he said his conclusion was we should give much more attention to Mary, and we should even have a special day for her every year. I found it touching. Since I had looked to the words of our text already previously for our students, they had thought to do confession already earlier, but what do we now believe of the providence of God? That the words of our text are actually a clear refutation of those type of thoughts. Jesus doesn't even give all that attention to his mother either. Yes, she was blessed. But when Mary was not always in the right place either, we see that, for example, in that wedding in Cana, when there was no wine anymore, and then she went to Jesus and said, they have no wine anymore. In other words, you should do something about it. And then Jesus did not say, Mother. No, he said, Woman. What have I to do with thee? And when he hung on the cross at the end of his life, then he pointed to Mary and he said, Woman, behold thy son, not mother, woman. And to John he said, Behold thy mother. He himself places Mary in the right place. No, he does not deny that she is blessed. Yea. But rather, so he focuses all the attention away from Mary, and he focuses the attention to you and me, to each and every one of us. Ye rather are blessed they that hear God's word and keep it. Rather. Now that word means as much as much more are blessed. Much more are blessed. So he points not only to the outward blessing of Mary, that she was highly privileged among the women, but he pointed to the inward blessing of her heart, which she had and which we all need, be it well for the time and for eternity. Blessed are they that hear God's word. What is that to hear? Well, you might say that means as much as to listen. To hear, that is, does that now only mean you hear it outwardly? Yeah, you come to church or you listen along and you say, no, yeah, we have heard it again. And sometimes people, they have their opinion and we've heard it again and it was nice, or I agreed, or maybe the other way around. Is that what Jesus means when he says, you hear and then you can have your own opinion about it? No, no. To hear is actually to hear by faith. To hear is actually what that first question of Hutsius says that those students hope to answer in a little moment. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of faith which you have learned and heard and confess to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation? So yeah, without that outward hearing of God's word, there is no salvation either. You have many people nowadays, and they say, no, yeah, I believe in a certain God, and I believe in a higher power, and I believe in the Lord, but I don't need to go to church for that. I can even believe outside the church. What a mistake. What a disastrous mistake, because the Lord wants us to hear his word, to be under the means. And those students here, they are convinced of that, as well as the ones that did confession in the morning hour in Norwich. To hear, that means they will place themselves faithfully under the word to hear what the Lord has to say unto them. And yet then there is more necessary, not only an outward hearing, but deeper in the light of the context. It means as much as to take heed and to bow under that word and to consent to it and to agree with it. To hear is not just an indifferent way of hearing. Let it go in the one ear out and out the other ear. Or it does even bounce back to the ears, because we are wandering with our thought everywhere. Or maybe sleeping and we only hear one word, and that is the word amen. And then we wake up and we say, oh yeah, it is again done for this day. No, to hear is to be convinced that what is preached or what is read in the reading sermons is not just the word of man, is not just the opinion of a man, but is the word of God. That conviction in the heart, that is to hear by the work of God's Spirit. So to hear is actually to receive an impression of that in the heart. Because we can hear outwardly without taking it to heart. We can hear and be convinced that it is God's word and yet go blatantly against it in our life. We can hear God's word and agree with it, and yet have forgotten about it a moment later again. So to hear is to agree with the heart. When we learned that chapter about saving faith, you still remember that, right? That is a knowledge of faith, that hearing of faith, but also that consent of faith, the full agreement with the heart. This is God's word. And as the Lord says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And the conviction and the desire, I want to stay with it. I hope you may all be gathered, confession student, that way in this evening. And I hope all our confession students this morning were gathered in God's house that way as well. To hear means as much as to bow under it. To hear means as much as to be admonished by it. To bow our heads, to bow the heart, to bow the knees. Lord, wilt thou speak that I may hear? To hear, that means to put the hand upon my mouth. Not always talk, not always be the first to talk, but to be quiet. Lord, wilt thou speak? Not always to make comments, not always seek it in myself, but to seek it outside of self. To hear is as much as to agree with the demand and with the promise and with the threat of God's word. Still know, from that covenant of grace, there are three things in a demand: do this, the covenantal works, that was the first one, do this, and that threat: in the day you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will surely die. And then that promise: but if you do this, you will certainly live. And they agree with that. That's bound upon the heart. They hear it. They consent to it. And they feel it in their heart. This is God's word. That word that must condemn me. That word that must testify against me. That word that says you are a sinner. You are a lost sinner. That word that says you need heart renewing grace. Children, that word of God that says you need a new heart to fear his name. That is to hear. We know it. Have we received such an ear, not only of the body to hear, but have we received such an ear of the heart to hear what the Lord has said? Is that how you came to church? And before you came, did you bow your knees and did you ask, Lord, will thou speak? That thy servant, that thy handmaid may hear. Maybe you must say, but how do I now know that? Because I feel this is the truth, and I desire to stay with the truth. But how do I now know that I may hear with a spiritual ear? Well, then something happens in your life. You still know it? The change of heart and the change of life. Change of heart when you may hear it with a spiritual ear, and that love is shut in your heart and your heart is broken. That heart cries out to the living God. But then also secondly, what our text says, because it says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. What is to keep? Have you now received, and that's a good customer in our circles, that our confession students, after they have done confession, and maybe parents have prepared it already, and otherwise I'm sure they still will do, and they give their children, they give those students something good to read, a good book. And what is now to keep it? Is that they put it on a shelf and they say, no, yeah, let's not throw it away, but keep it on the shelf and never open it. No, that's not to keep. Or in the box somewhere, no. What is now to keep? Well, actually, that means to live in agreement, to act in according to that word, to hear it with an ear of faith and to act in agreement with it. What is to keep? Well, we sang that. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure. They see that Bible, that word of God, as their greatest treasure. Silver and gold of the world cannot satisfy. Who keep this word for a treasure, who keep his testimonies and display the love for that goodness who no one can measure. Asking that that word may be a lamp unto their feet and a light upon their pathway. And you know that, right, they did not have a torch. And they did not have a bright light shining hundreds of feet ahead. No, they only had an oil lamp in those days. And that little flame upon that oil lamp that gave a little light to see exactly one step ahead. So that made those people dependent on that light of that oil light, that oil lamp for each step. Now that is to keep, to be dependent on the Lord. And when that love is in their heart, then they may say with that same Psalm 119, which we sang in Psalter 428, I've sworn an oath which gladly I repeat. And those students will do that this evening. And one has done that already. That I shall keep, as always I have striven, thy righteous judgments, holy and complete. And they are desirous that unto them that helping and saving grace be given. To keep that word is to cherish it as the greatest treasure, and to read it every day, bowing the knees and asking, Lord, thy word can make me wise unto salvation. Thou hast said it in thy word. Will thou now also fulfill it? To keep it. You know, then it can happen in the life of a young person or in the life of an older one, eh? When that love for God's word and the impression of the majesty of that word is in their heart, that before they go to bed, that you always read your Bible, young friends, don't you? And then you bow your knees, but And it can happen that they'd be so tender that they, before they open God's word, they first bow their knees. Lord, it is thy word, and will thou bless it. And after they had opened the Bible and read the meditation about it, they bow their knees again. And they say, Lord, thy word is so precious. Will thou bless it in my heart? To keep his word. Although that word convicts me of being a sinner. Although that word convicts me that God is holy and righteous and just and cannot have communion with sin. Although that word says, everything testifies against you. You can find those people upon their knees. Lord, I have sinned against thee. Wilt thou now show in thy word that there is a way unto salvation also for such a wretched sinner as I am, to keep it, that is to cherish it, because there is no rest in their life, and they have a desire that the Lord will answer the questions and will solve the riddles, that main question, is there a way unto salvation by which I may be delivered from self and sin? To keep it, that means there is a desire to walk in according to that word of God. To keep it, that is, oh, if that word may condemn me, must condemn me, then it brings me upon the knees before my Maker, the Lord. And if that word be opened, I may show unto me that there is a way in Christ, that precious mediator and savior, it brings them on their knees again. And it says, Lord, and I have read it in thy word, but oh, may I now know him, and may he now be applied to my heart, and may I follow on to know him. May he be mindful, he has said, I am the way and the life and the truth. Lead me then on that way everlasting. Order my footsteps in thy way. And let not have any iniquity dominion over my life. What is that now? To keep his word. Well, it's to take heed to that word. That such a person does not want to do anything which is against God's word. Then it can happen that they have to make a decision. But they don't know what to do. Then they bow their knees and they open God's word. And they say, Lord, will thou show me the way I have to go? Keep his word. That is actually what that second question of Fuchsius says, which they have to answer. It says that they promise by the grace of God steadfastly to continue in the profession of that doctrine and to live and die in accordance to it. What is now to keep? Let me give a few examples. First example, out of Luke 8, verse 15, then it goes about the seed. You know that, children, there are four kinds of seed. You also read that in Matthew 13, four kinds of seed. And there is a seed that falls by the wayside, and the birds come, and they pick it up, and it's gone. And there is a seed that falls between the thorns, and on all the concerns of that life and the world that choke it. And there is a seed that falls in a soil that has not much depth, and the roots cannot grow, and it will wither and die. It comes to naught. But there is also a seed that falls in good soil, and it brings forth 30, 60, or 100 fold. And then Jesus says about that seed, but they that fall in the good ground are they who in a good and honest heart heard the word, they hear it, and keep it, bringing forth fruit of repentance. What is now to keep that word? Well, let's turn to James in his epistle, almost at the end of the Bible. To keep it, that is a people who may receive that word of God with meekness in their heart. And that do not as a forgetful hearer. Then James, he uses a simple example of a person standing before the mirror. Now, he did that maybe too. Make sure everything is okay. James says there are now two types of people. There are hearers of the word and doers of the word. But if we are not a doer of the word, then we hear it outwardly. But then James says, you are a forgetful hearer. You look, you see your face in a mirror, in a glass, and you go away and you right away forget how it was. But those that may be a hearer and a doer are not a forgetful hearer. And then James says they are blessed with that spiritual blessing. And now one more example. That is what Christ himself says at the end of that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, you can find it. And he speaks about two type of people. They both build a house of their life. Our life is compared there with a house. And you can build a house and upon sandy ground and it looks all rock solid and it's all pressed together. But then the rain comes, and we had quite a bit of rain in the past. We got such a flooding rain, and what does the rain do? That washes away all that soil from under the house, and it will collapse. It will come to naught. It will not stand. But those that hear my word and do it, Jesus says, and keep it, that means they are like a man who first dig until they hit the rock and then they start building the house on a solid rock. And when then the floods come and the wind blows, then that house will not be shaken and it will not collapse. That is now exactly the work of God's Spirit. For faith is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, applied by his Spirit. We now may use the means. We now may place ourselves, as they will promise, faithfully under the means which the Lord has given that can make us wise unto salvation. That word that convinces me, that convicts me. That word that says that it is now impossible with man, that strips a person from all his ability to be saved, but that may show that their possibility is outside of man, in God, in Christ. That word that says, I am not able, and the deepest root cause is I am not willing, I am unwilling, but that may then bow the knee steadfast, make my heart, and all by grace then make my willing heart, because he makes to will and to do after his good pleasure. And there's a people that may see and that may read it in God's word and that may hear it. I must and I cannot. But what I am not able to, the Lord is able to. And there's a people that may look unto Christ, in whom is everything they cannot miss. And before they know him, they have no rest in their life. Because outside of Christ, there is no life, but only an eternal death. You can all pat them on the back, and you can all say, but you are such a serious person, and you have done confession, and you were baptized as an adult, and it's all the ground, and you will for sure go to heaven. That person will say, no, I cannot do it with your word. I needed what Psalm 56 says. I need to hear it out of his own mouth. And then the Dutch psalm that sings it so preciously, ik heb het zelf uit zijn mond gehoord. I heard it myself out of his mouth. To hear and to keep in the knowledge of Christ. Then he says, blessed are they. Now what is now that word blessed? That means as much as saved. That points us to what Christ says elsewhere in John 14, verse 23. If a man love me and keep my words, so keep it, my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So may I say it simply, then the Lord will dwell in the heart of those people. And that is a people that has but one desire, to know him more and more and to live in according to his commandments. They hate all that God hates, sin, world, and evil. They cancel the service of Satan, and they love all that the Lord loves. And they have a desire to live in accordance to it in all good works, out of that saving faith and according to his commandments and to his honor and glory, because he becomes so worthy to be glorified in their life. It's a people that is afraid to sin. And let's say with the Joseph and the temptations come, shall I now do such a sin and a great wickedness and sin against God? And he fled away from the places of sin and from sin itself. That is a people that may sit at the feet of the Lord like a Mary, and that may listen as a Lydia, as that woman there in Philippi. At the water side, where they had now church, and when Paul now came and he spoke the word, and the word was opened, and she inclined her, you know, that was the Lord's work. She heard what the apostle said, and she took heed to it, and her heart was opened. So she did not only hear it outwardly, but also inwardly, and she kept that word because she was desirous to receive more instruction. She urged them to come in her house and stay with her. That is to keep the word, to hear and to keep. Now, how is that now in your and my life? May we now hear by faith, may we now keep by faith and live according to it, or are we strange of it? My uncomforted friend, make haste for your life's sake, that we may receive an ear of the heart to hear, and a heart in love for him that may keep his commandments holy and pure, and that is dependent on the Lord, that he, his grace will send. What a blessed people. And one thing more. Blessed are they that hear and keep. Actually, in the Greek, the original language, we read that hear continually, and that keep continually. That hear continually. It's not enough when they come to church on Sunday, and for the rest in the week, during the week, they do whatever they want. No, they hear God's word. They live by it, day by day. And they keep it continually. Continually. On their knees. The perseverance of the saints, they will never fall away, no, until we keep it and hear it. Until to hear is not necessary anymore, because faith becomes beholding, his countenance fair. What bliss beyond compare, and they may see him who has loved them with an eternal love, and keep his testimony without any sin and without any possibility of sin, but in glorifying his name. Amen. We will sing together. Psalter 415, stanza 5. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth, and mercy is pure, and to such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. For the glory of thy name, pardon, Lord, my evil doing. And what follows in the fifth of 415. We have now come to the moment that six young people hope to do confession of faith, and may I ask them to stand up and to answer clearly with the mouth, and could it be also with the heart, to the following questions. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Secondly, do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Thirdly, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? And fourthly, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer? Benton Robert George Clark, Antoinette Antje Adriana Antonia Clark, Emelina Henrietta Katharina Goud, Mark Gerrit Scherpenzeel, Wilena Margaret Scherpenzeel, Brandon Gerrit van Zegelaar. Beloved friends, you, together also with Ying, who was baptized this evening, have received a very special hour in this evening. Hour in which you have become professing members of the church with full rights and full duties. Full rights, the male members to the membership meeting, and a passive right to be voted as an office bearer. It's a passive right, we called it. Together with all the others, a right, an outward right to partake of the Lord's Supper, and we know that right, we've spoken about it, but we need an inward, a divine right. But it's special. When you have joined yourself purposefully, willingly, under the truth, and that you had the conviction, this is the truth. Precious. Maybe there have been times in your life that you were not even raised with it. Or that you thought to yourself, well, and I believe it all, and no interest in it. But how wonderful the ways of the Lord are. We see it in this evening. We hear it also for those that listen along from far away and from nearby. And now the works of the Lord are great, the Bible says. My young people, fully agree and promise to stay with the truth and live in agreement with it. Is that our merit? No. Have we deserved it? No. It's now a wonder given by the Lord. And I will heartily wish my beloved students, professing members now, that your clear yes that you have spoken may resonate in your heart, may come back time and again, and that you may ask, Lord, may that now be true in my life. I can have no rest before that is true. May the Lord bless you personally, your families, and in the midst of the congregation, and make you a blessing. And beloved congregation, receive these young people as out of the hands of the Lord. and lay on your knees day and night for them, that it may be true in their life and your life, and maybe memories come back from many years ago, or from a few years ago, or even from a few hours ago. And I wish that, yes, now in my life, may the Lord remember us to gather with all our loved ones and grant us a blessing out of that heavenly sanctuary, and incorporate us all as living members in his church that shall be saved. Amen. We will sing together, and we do that standing, the seventh of 444. Jehovah's mercy floweth like a river from everlasting and abideth ever on those that love and worship him with awe, that keep his covenant and obey his law. The seventh of 444, standing. Let us now seek the Lord's countenance in thanksgiving. Almighty Lord, how precious, and that be true, the children's children, and there are in our midst to notice that. And there are maybe in our midst or listening along who are grieved when they hear these words, but thou take them all for thine account. Children's children, true for the students, and the parents and the loved ones. Lord, will thou remember them? We acknowledge thee for what thou hast given this day in the life of all the confession students, this morning in Norwich and here this evening in Cortland. Will there be the after preacher, forgiving all that was amiss, blessing that which is thine, and look upon us in mercy. We ask, go with us in the week which we've entered in. Help and strengthen in all labors. We ask that thou wilt look upon us in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. We will sing our closing psalter, 422. Stanza 5. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. And what follows in the 5th of 422. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.